pray, though, for God's help, and we're going to get into this study. Father God, I just thank you for your word. Thank you that it has everything we need to live a life pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you that it tells us about you, everything that you want us to know about yourself. Lord, help us to be diligent in devoting ourselves to understanding your word. Lord, I pray that as we study the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would bless us in learning about his ministry, his work, who he is, and what he can do in our lives, Lord. Guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit as we study him this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, questions. I'm going to start with some questions. What insights from the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit, did you come away with from the John MacArthur message? How many listened to the message?
Didn't listen
to lesson 7. You know what? It's a really good lesson.
Not yet.
Yeah, because we had to.
Oh, so you didn't. Okay, if you get to listen to the lesson, it's really great. John, how many have listened to the messages before? Do you know that he's the fifth cousin of Douglas MacArthur, the famous general who fought in World War II? That's an unnecessary bit of trivia that I just threw at you. No, he's a great preacher, and the message I found to be very, very helpful on the Holy Spirit. There's a few insights that I took away that I will hopefully infuse into our time together. Here's some other questions I have for you guys. Who is the Holy Spirit? Does anyone have an idea? Yes.
One of the three Trinity?
One of the three Godheads. You're close. One of the third person of the Trinity. Very good. What are some things you guys know about the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's the same way to ask the question, but what else do you know about the Holy Spirit besides who he is?
That it lives in us.
He lives in us?
He's a spirit.
It's good. That's very true. It's very good to point out. Anything else? Have you guys heard any messages on the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we had a whole conference on the Holy Spirit. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, without much further ado, in this lesson, we will look at the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity, number one. Number two, we want to look at his ministry. We could call it his ministry or his work in creation, in inspiration, and salvation. We're going to focus mainly on the last one. And thirdly, and finally, we will look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. Those are the two big activities that the Holy Spirit has in our life. So, it's a very helpful material. Hopefully you guys have been doing your lessons. Did you guys do lesson 7?
I started it.
You started it. Okay. Do you guys have your books with you or no?
Yes.
Let's turn to that lesson. Before I go into it, my message, I just want to look at a few, maybe open up there. So the first thing it asks about is the Holy, it tells us about the Holy Spirit is a person, okay? Some people refer to it almost as a force or an it. I think it doesn't help because sometimes in Scripture it does refer to it as an it, but mostly as a him or a he, as a person. It's always a person. Some people think of it as an energy force or things like that. That's not what the Scripture says. So we want to establish the fact that he's a person. And I believe in your lesson, it spent some time asking some questions about what a person is and his personality. Secondly, talks about the Holy Spirit is God. So he's a person, and he's a God. He is not a God. He is God. Finally, the work of the Holy Spirit. So I kind of laid it out that way. The lesson is very good. I would encourage you to go through the lesson and spend your time answering those questions, because we're going to answer some of the questions this morning too as well. But I'm not going to cover everything that's in the lesson. So let's get into what I have written down here. Before I do that, did anyone have anything from the lesson that they had a question about or comment?
Yeah,
Anybody? Anything? Okay. So I want this to be a discussion, and I want it to be a conversation. So if you guys have questions or comments, raise your hand. I may answer it. I may say, not right now, Josh. Probably be real nice to you girls, but I'll be nice to Josh too, I promise.
What about Isaac?
And Isaac. I'll be nice to Isaac too. But I might pick on Isaac a little bit. Maybe just a little bit. Okay. So I switched it up from what's in the lesson booklet, which you guys don't have, so it doesn't matter. So I'm just going to go with what I have here. The Holy Spirit is a person. Let's talk about this. First and foremost, He is the third person in the Trinity. And I know we, at my house, at Monday evening Bible study, which you guys, most of you have attended, we've talked about the Trinity. And so I want to talk about it this morning. And in reference to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We'll get into why He's called the third person. He is distinct from the Father and the Son. Sometimes we get a little blurry on the Trinity, and it's important to remind ourselves that He is distinct. So when Josh said He is a spirit, that sounds like really basic, like, okay, duh.
I said that.
But you said it, okay. But it's very important distinction. He is God, and He is a spirit. I want to draw a diagram that we might have drawn before, and get into what the Trinity is, okay? All these different colors. Colors are just for distinction. So the Father, who are some of the other people?
Son.
Son, okay. I'll do, I want to do different colors. I'll start with these. Son. And
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are the same person. Just a different way of saying the same thing. Ghost is German for spirit. Germanish. It's actually Geist. Okay. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay. So, each of these persons is God. You notice I didn't say our God, is God. Each of these persons is God. Grammar kind of defies grammar trying to discuss the Trinity. So the Son is God. The Father is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. However, this is where things get interesting. The Son is not the Father. Now, why would I say that? Now, the Father, I and my Father are one. They are one, but the Father is not the Son. Why would I say that?
Because the Bible makes a distinction between the two.
Okay. Just think about it. On the cross, Christ is praying to His Father. We read this morning, what did Christ say on the cross?
It is finished.
He said it is finished. That's true. What else? Which means, my God, my God, why are you... You know what's interesting? We're going to talk a little bit about the Trinitarian statements of Scripture, but I like to include that as one of the Trinitarian statements of Scripture because you have the whole Trinity there. You have the Son who's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? You have the distinct persons there at the cross, and the Son is left to Himself. You can weigh into that a little later on, and Rob and Isaac, if they have issues, that they can talk to me afterwards. But the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and nor is the Son the Holy Spirit. But each one of them is God. Does that make sense? I don't know if it makes sense, but that's the truth. Okay. Someone says, if you try to explain the Trinity, you will lose your mind. Hopefully I won't do that tonight, this morning. If you deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. So this is what the Scripture teaches, and this is what we believe, doesn't always mean it's easy to grasp and understand. We can only go as far as Scripture goes. So sometimes there's unanswered things about who God is, and we can study and learn as much as we can from Scripture, but sometimes it's not, some of it we don't know all the answers. I certainly don't. Maybe someone out there does, not me. Okay? However, this is another thing we want to talk about. So the Father gave us the Son, right? That's one word. He was begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he's begotten. The Son is begotten of the Father. Now, here's something that you guys will have trouble to figure out. But the Son is always being coming from the Father. Right? He's eternally the Son of God. There wasn't a point in time where the Son became, because the Son is eternal. They're all eternal. Okay? We're going to get into that a little bit. They're all eternal. But the Son came from the Father. He's eternally coming from the Father. Try to figure that out. But that's where he is. Eternally coming from the Father. However, the Holy Spirit, the Son, says, I will give you another comforter like myself. So the Spirit comes from the Son, but also from the Father. So the Spirit is eternally proceeding from the Father. Okay? This is as far as I'm going to go with this, but you guys think about it. There was no point in time where the Holy Spirit became, because he's eternal. So the reason we call it the second, third person of the Trinity is because the Father gave the Son, and the Son and the Father gave the Holy Spirit. Okay? So if you can memorize this diagram, it helps you understand who the Holy Spirit is, or who the Trinity is. There's more we can add to it and say proceeding. So this is eternal generation, and this is eternal procession. Okay? He's eternally proceeding from the Son and the Father. Are your minds broken yet?
Yes.
Okay. It has to be in the present tense, because there was no point in which God began. Right? You want to think, you want your mind to expand and to grow and to be exercised. The biggest thought you can think about is God. Right? And the Holy Spirit is God. Okay? The Son is God. The Father is God. They're three in one. One in three. Co-eternal. Always existing. Okay? So that's as far as I'm going to take that. That's the Trinity. So let's look at some verses and to help us understand. Well, we don't have much time. So, actually, let's look at a few of these verses quick. Isaiah 4:43-10. So you get that, Isaac. 45:22. Josh.
Hey.
Meredith, Genesis 1:26a. Amy, Genesis 3:22. Ruth, John 6:27. When you find it, read it.
You are my witness, declares the Lord. My servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after.
Okay. So what does that tell us?
That there's one God, and that he's always been and always will be.
Okay, so co-eternal, one God. One God. Okay, what you have?
Verse 20. Isaiah 45:22, right?
Yep.
All right. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other.
Okay. Tells us the same thing. Genesis 1:26a.
Oh, 1:26.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you're kind of...
We got to move.
Okay, 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness.
Okay, so he uses what? Personal pronoun, remember?
Our.
Our, right? So God is referring to himself in the plural. And throughout Genesis, you'll notice that. The Tower of Babel, he says, let's go down, let us go down and confuse our languages. And the term, the word Elohim, which is the first word for God in the scriptures, is in the plural form. So, but it's used, often uses the singular pronoun, except in a few times it doesn't, okay? So the Lord will say, let us make man in our image. But then other times it refers to God as himself, okay? So that's some food for thought. We're going to just keep going. This gives you an idea. This is not the main point, but it was in the lesson. So we want to talk about the Trinity. Now we're moving on. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, but he is a person. And with that, he has all the attributes of a person. Let's look at these verses. Romans 8:27, Isaac. Josh, 1 Corinthians 2:10. Meredith, girls. Ephesians 4:36. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, and Acts 13:2. We will read all these, okay? But I'll start with you. Acts 13:2. Just keeping you guys on your toes. It's like volleyball. You never know where the ball is going to land. What is that? 1 Corinthians 2:7-11.
Acts 13:2.
What did I tell you? Ephesians 4. Yes, 4:36.
Okay. Wait, what am I? I'm the 1 Corinthians, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.
Okay, so what does it tell us about the Holy Spirit? As attributes of a person. How is he like a person? He works. He separates. Yeah. What else does that verse say again? Acts. I should have opened to it. Acts 13, verse 2. Let's look at it here. It says, the Holy Spirit said. So, he talks. He has a plan. He has a will, an idea that he wants, an agenda, just like any other person. Okay, go ahead, Amy.
1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 11.
12. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. A bad communicator.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether it is from the Holy Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have.
Okay, so what does it tell us about the Holy Spirit has a person, a personality?
He gives?
That's
anything
all
else? Okay. Very good. We'll just keep moving. Meredith, what you got?
Ephesians 4, 6.
36.
36?
Is there such a thing? Maybe you have a typo.
Ephesians 6 makes sense. 4-6.
4-6, okay. Read. Maybe it's 4-3-6.
Yeah, that might make more
okay,
sense.
Go ahead.
Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in one bond of peace, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Okay. Yeah, verse 36 doesn't exist, so.
Yeah, that'd be
crazy. Yeah, that would be kind of hard. Okay. Yeah, so keep this unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is one Spirit, okay? What does it tell us about him as a person?
He's eager.
Okay. So he has a desire for us to be... so the desires... speaks, gives. These are all things only a person can do, right? a force can't give you anything or speak to you or make a decision or have a plan, right? That's only attributes of a person. What do you have there, Josh?
1 Corinthians 2:10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God.
So the Spirit's looking for things, looking, searching our hearts. That's something only a person would do, right? If the sunshine doesn't search us, really, what it would be looking for? What is it looking at? It's not looking at anything. It's shining on us, right? Where it's just energy source. Okay, what else do you have there, Isaac?
He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay, so what key word here is a very important attribute of a person?
Knows.
Because he has a
mind.
There you go. So Holy Spirit is a person. We established that. Okay. We have a lot more we could go to. He can be responded to. Whatever reason I didn't put that reference down. Someone turn to Acts 10, 19 and 21. And then someone else turn to Hebrews 10, 29.
I can do Hebrews.
Okay. When you have it, read it. Whoever has it.
What Acts what?
10, 19 through 21.
What was Hebrews?
Hebrews 10, 29.
Okay, well, I have it.
Okay.
Sorry. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace?
Okay. Those outrage the Spirit of grace. We can outrage the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. Now, as we are all persons here too, right? Have you ever been outraged?
Yes.
Someone like tramples mud on, like muddy boots on your bed, you'd be a little outraged, right? Right? Amy, definitely don't do that. She's not really outraged. You can be grieved, right? You're going to go to your grandma's house, or your best friend's house, and it gets canceled. Right, where you have a trip to Disney World, and guess what? They burned Disney World down.
Whoa! So,
that'd be disappointed if you ended Disney World. You'd be grieved. Quenched. Now, this is the worst one of all, right? You have a really good idea, and someone throws cold water on it. And it's like, puts you down, dismisses you. That's pretty hard, right? The Holy Spirit can experience all those things from us, which is pretty a testimony to the fact that he's an actual person. He has the actions of a person. Maybe we'll pick two of these. John 16:8, Isaac. And Ruthie. Acts 16, 6 and 7. Go ahead, Isaac. I actually have like 15 references for all these things, and we don't have time for it, so we'll just take a couple. Hopefully Isaiah will go really long, and then we'll have time to finish all of our information. Go ahead, Isaac.
When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment.
So here he is. He has a goal. He has a job. Okay, this is one of his ministries outside of, in the life of a believer. He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is a key verse on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, okay? A key action that he takes. So anyone who's saved, this is a concept you need to park in your brain and your soul, that God is sovereign in salvation at every stage. Before you're saved, while you're getting saved, after you're saved, when you die and go to heaven, the whole process is from the heart of God and in the hands of God. So even before you're saved and you hear the gospel, and when you hear, your ears are pricked, your heart is pricked, you're convicted. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Only a person can do. Those are actions of a person. Ruthie, do you have your verse?
Acts 16, Acts 16:6-7?
Yep.
Okay. They had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Okay, so the Spirit was guiding and directing, right? They had a plan, and then the Spirit's like, no, you're going to do this, or I want you to do this. That's only a person. Those are actions of a person, redirecting. Someone who's in authority. And we talk about our meetings in the morning. Sunday meetings are Spirit-led, and they're Spirit-led in multiple ways. Leading our hearts before we come, leading our hearts while we're there. Sometimes, I mean, I had a hymn I really badly wanted to sing. You know, Holy Spirit had other plans, and I never picked that hymn this morning. Other brothers picked different hymns, and that's what the Holy Spirit ultimately wanted us to sing. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is a person. We're going to get to the Holy Spirit is God, which we talked about in our little diagram, but we're going to... He just as he shares the attributes of a person, he shares the attributes of God. A very important verse, Psalm 139, verse 7. Amy... Meredith, Hebrews 9:14, and Josh, John 16:13, and Isaac, 1 John 5:7. Go ahead and read that, Amy.
Psalm 139:7. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence.
Okay, where can I go from your presence? What attribute of God is being impressed upon us in this verse?
He's everywhere.
Everywhere. What's a cool big word for that?
Is it omnipresent?
Yes! I love you guys. You guys are so smart. I love big words. Every time I hear it, it just makes me happy. Big words are great. Omnipresent, right? Meredith, read yours.
How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from death, from dead works to serve the living God.
So what does this tell us about the Holy Spirit as God?
It talks about him not interchangeably, but very closely with Christ and the Father.
Right. They're at work in our salvation, right? Only God saves, and the Holy Spirit is right in there with that. Okay, the next one, John 16:13. Josh.
John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come.
Okay. So he will speak to us. 1 John 5:7.
For there are three that testify.
Now the King James has a verse there. Does anyone have a King James? You want to read that 3:5, verse 8.
1 John.
Yeah, I don't want to get into any textual criticism this morning because it's, you know, whatever. But there's
5.
Yeah, 5:8, 7 and 8. Okay, so these three agree in one. There's three testimonies. In the King James, it tells us the Father, the Son, or the Father, the Spirit, and the Word, and these three are one. That's actually not in a lot of, or any of the original Greek manuscripts. But the idea there is that there's three that bear witness, the Spirit, the Father, and the Son. Okay, we are completely out of time. But I want to move to the last thing, okay? Tried to prove from Scripture, there's one of the best verses is Acts 5:3-4, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right? And what does Peter tell them after they lied, right, about the land? They sold the land, they gave some of the money, and they kept some of the money back. And he said, is this all the money? They said, yes. And Peter said, may your money die with you, but that was someone else. He's like, why have you agreed together to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. So that is a declaration in Scripture right then that you can't argue the Holy Spirit is God. Right? There's plenty of other scriptures, though, that will interchangeably use the name of the Spirit for God. Okay, briefly touch on this. The work of the Holy Spirit can be seen in creation. In the first verse of Scripture, the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. He is seen in the virgin birth in Luke 1:35. The Spirit of the living God came upon Mary. And also the inspiration of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. And that's in 1 Timothy 3:16. Also, and I think it's in 1 Peter, talks about men who are moved along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit worked through men to give us our Scripture. So those are three important activities we see in history the Holy Spirit was involved in, for sure. And many, many more beside that, but those I briefly want to mention that. Finally, until they come up here and pry my hands from this pulpit, I'm going to talk to you guys about the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation and His ministry. Okay, we talked a little about conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But He's our Lord. He tells us that Christ is Lord. He's active in the work of regeneration. So in the rebirth, when we're born again, it's by the Holy Spirit and His work in us. Romans 8 and 9 and elsewhere talks about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a big concept that when we become saved and born again, the Spirit comes to live inside us. Okay? The whole Godhead indwells us. Okay? And lives us through the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you look at Christ in you, the hope of glory. We read in Ephesians here, it says, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Okay? So the Father's in us, the Son is in us, through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the three, there's more on the diagram, but the Father is in the Spirit and the Son. The Son, the Spirit, and the Father, and all those different ways. They're in each other. Okay? And they're working in each other, in us. Let's see here. There's the baptism. We're going to talk briefly about this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter 1, 2, talks about the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. So, we talked a little bit about this in our Monday evening class, the sanctification. There's different big words of the gospel. Or justified, sanctified, glorified, all these different things. And it's all part of the work of salvation. And most of these happen immediately upon salvation. But the Holy Spirit is working with us before we're saved, convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He's currently working in us to sanctify us and to bring us into conformity to Christ. Okay. So, there is an important... Okay, so this content, I would want to read these verses. 1 Corinthians 12:13, Isaac. Ephesians 1:13 and 14, Josh. And Romans 8, 9, Meredith. We'll read these. And then I have one more verse to read, and I promise we'll be... I don't promise. We might not be done. We might go on for another hour. Go ahead.
For in one Spirit, we are all baptized into the body. Jews or Greeks or slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one Spirit.
Okay. Made to drink of one Spirit, baptized by one Spirit into the body. So this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People will talk about that. We are baptized by one Spirit into the body. So when we're born again, become part of the body of Christ, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Okay, very good. Josh.
Ephesians 13, 1, 13, 14?
Yep.
Okay. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the cure possession of it to the praise of His glory.
Okay. So we are sealed, right? When are we sealed?
When we hear and have salvation.
Okay, at salvation. When are we baptized into the Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit? Baptized by one Spirit into the body. When does that happen?
When we're saved.
When we're saved. Okay. Finally, Meredith, read the last one.
That's Romans 8.
Yeah.
9.
Romans 8, verse 9.
Okay. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him.
So when does the Holy Spirit come to dwell in you?
Salvation.
Okay, at salvation. At salvation? At salvation? At salvation. Now, some people say these are all three the same. I think I would say they happen at the same time, and they're very connected. So this little wavy equal sign means they're very similar. They're all connected like links in a chain. It all happens at the same time. However, this is different to my last verse. If someone wants to read Ephesians 5, 17 and 19.
17 and 19?
Yep.
Through 19 or just 17?
What's that?
Through 17.
17, 18, and 19.
Okay. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Okay, so let's talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know what this symbol is? Does anyone know what that symbol is?
Not equal.
The baptism, sealing, and dwelling of the Holy Spirit is not the filling of the Spirit, because this all happens at salvation. The filling of the Spirit is a command, and it's a great word. So it says, be constantly being filled. Be constantly being filled. So like if you go to a great restaurant and you're drinking water, right, and you have a very attentive waiter, and you drink your water, and then he comes and he pours a little bit more water back in there. And then you drink it, he pours a little bit more water back. It can be annoying, actually. But if you're thirsty, it's wonderful. So we are commanded to be filled. How does that work? Okay, Meredith talked, there was an activity described in that verse that Meredith read. Last verse, I promise I said I wouldn't do this, but there's another verse. The parallel verse to the Ephesians 5, 17 and 19 verse, it's Colossians 3, 16 and 18.
I got it.
You got it.
Colossians
go ahead.
3, 16 through 19?
Through 18.
Oh, through 18. Let's see. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father.
Okay, how is this verse like Meredith's verse, and how is it different? What does it mention, and what does it not mention?
It mentions like singing and praising.
Okay, they both mention singing and praising, and the Word of God dwelling in you richly.
Yes.
Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But what does it not have in that verse? What are we talking about?
It doesn't have mention of the Holy Spirit.
It doesn't mention the Holy Spirit, but it mentions the Word of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, a key point that was made, listen to the message. I've got something for you, brother. The Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Fill yourself with the Word of Christ. And what happens? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Filling yourself with the Word of Christ, filling yourself with Christ, filling yourself with the Word of God is the same as filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. Get yourself topped off. Topped up. Right? It's like you're going to leave the gas station. You went to Speedway. You bought yourself the super mega ultra gulp, slurpy thing, whatever. The 25-gallon to go, you know, soda, right? Pop, whatever. And you take a sip. But you want to, you don't want to go without getting your money's worth. So you fill it up a little bit more. You take a sip. You're waiting for your dad to pay for the gas. And you fill it up. And you fill it up. And you fill it up. But the thing is, we have him with us all the time, right? And there's ways in which we can fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Singing, worshiping, spending time with him in prayer, in the Word of God. These are things that we can do to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Right? This is all the time I've got. I could go on. I could go on and talk about our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? What does that mean? We don't have time for that. You'll have to figure that out on your own. But or listen to the message from John MacArthur. Thank you for listening. I'm going to close in a word of prayer and release you, release your my hostages, whatever else you guys need to do. Okay, thank you. Father God, we thank you for this very brief outline and look at the person, the work, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that he is even here right now. Lord, he's convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's guiding us into all truth. He is showing us your word. Lord, I pray that we would obey the command for what, however it means, to be filled, constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. That it top ourselves off by communicating each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and by being filled with the Word of Christ. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, there's so much more we could learn about this. I pray that these young people, that their curiosity and interest would be piqued, and the desire and hunger to know more about you. And Lord, that you would, as it says in Hebrews, that you would, you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I pray that you would reward them for their efforts this morning. I thank you for each five of them here, for Ruthie, Amy, Meredith, Isaac, and Josh, that they were diligent to be here, and bless them accordingly, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.